Hi there and good day. This is Naimish Modi for CKMS Radio 102.7 in Waterloo. It's great to be with you today. Recently, I spoke to Guy Friedman, president of the First Peoples Group. As an Indigenous advisory firm, the organization offers training and facilitation and relationship building services to clients who are committed to an approach to development that is equally informed by our responsibility to Mother Earth and to our future generations. The First Peoples Group is in the midst of conducting a community engagement process in regards to the Prime Minister's path in Baden. Controversy around the path in Wilmot near the council chambers began in the summer of 2020 when the Sir Johnny MacDonald statue was painted red, representing his mistreatment of Indigenous peoples during his tenure as Canada's Prime Minister. The painting red set off a heated debate within the community of whether the statue should remain. After much deliberation, council removed the SJM statue later in 2020. Earlier in 2021, Wilmot Council hired the First Peoples Group to conduct a consultation process and conduct a community engagement for the path. The engagement process was launched earlier in May, while currently the community forum is open to all for their opinions and their insights. The next official update from the First Peoples Group is on June 5th. The interview with Guy Friedman took place on May 26th. Guy, could you tell me a little bit about the process of the community engagement with the Prime Minister's path in Baden and where it's at? I know that there was a recent release on May 21st, but if you're able to tell me a little bit about what the status is of that is, that would be great.
We just launched the forum. We have probably, I think we received about 17 initial responses from the very first day, and we expect that to grow substantially. That forum is going to run until June 18th, it's going to remain live. In addition to that, there's going to be a parallel process of focus groups that will begin shortly. And we're saying focus groups, but that really is people who are saying to us, we would like to have a session with you. And there might be three or four people. The people get to select their focus groups. We're not proposing that we do any of that. So that process is running parallel to the forum, which will conclude on the 18th. We're going to be the community, what we're calling is community-led recommendations. Those are going to be submitted at the end of June, and they'll be discussed at a special council meeting on July 5th. And so we're just basically an impartial group that gets to hear both sides of the story, all sides of the story, every angle of the story, and piece together recommendations. So these aren't First Peoples Group recommendations. These are Wilmot recommendations. And people who have, you know, a love for the community and are citizens, and even if you've moved a little away from the place, my hometown is, I'm going to say 3,000 kilometers away, and I miss it dearly. I come from a little place called Flin Flon in northern Manitoba, and I would still like to be involved. If this was going down in Flin Flon, I'd be like, hey, you know what, I got a soft spot in my heart for my hometown. I'd like to participate. And so we're taking into account recommendations of everybody who wants to have their say in how we should proceed.
Is there any examples you can provide me of another project maybe that the group consulted on like this?
Yeah, well, we began with the city of Kingston, I'm going to say probably about 2 to 3 years ago, when there was the debate on the statue there that's in City Park. And so we've been engaged with Kingston for 2 to 3 years as part of, again, sort of a parallel process. One was, the your stories are your history project, as well as a push for some recognition that these cities and urban, the urban Indigenous population, as well as the surrounding population from the First Nations, Mohawks of the Bay of Quinte and Alderville First Nation, have some presence in town because many years ago the Friendship Center ceased operations. So there hasn't been any place for Indigenous people, to gather and to have programming. And so that City of Kingston project is probably what got us recognized in terms of controversy, if you will. And our company exists to build a better Canada, and we try to do so with a no blame, no name, and no shame, and understanding that it's oftentimes the voices of people who haven't been heard, whose stories haven't been told, that if there's a better way to do that by building up every society really that needs a hand that way, then we wind up with a better country. So our work in Kingston kind of I wouldn't say got us on the map. We really do reconciliation-based work anyway. And that's what I see this as. It's a reconciliation project as part of the TRC's calls to action and how we can honor and recognize Indigenous history and place it in a context that's that takes into consideration some of the historical tendencies to just really honor one society over the other.
Right. And in terms of just going back to the community engagement process, is there a timeline on completion? Is it mid-June, or when was the group looking for, I guess, for people to submit their opinions?
Yeah, so the forum is going to remain live until June 18th. So that's about another month approximately. And then we're going to be writing the report with community-led recommendations. We're going to submit that at the end of June to council, and it's going to be considered, from what we understand, as a special council meeting on July 5th. So there's a good 3 weeks or more to comment.
Right. And when the group does get feedback from the community, what is the process of determining, I guess, next steps or determining recommendation? Like, how does that all sort of work?
Well, yeah, so there's a working group that is comprised of a couple of key city staff members. I think there's a couple of council members as well that are a part of that, as assigned by any type of project like this that any township or city council works on. You know, in Kingston, we're working with the mayor, as well as two councillors, one who really has sort of an envoy position to the Alderville First Nation, and another one in a similar position to the Mohawks of the Bay of Quinte. So that working group in Wilmot will be comprised of us, the number of city staff, and I believe two councillors. We hold the pen, First Peoples Group will hold the pen on what we interpret. We're going to be present at every interview and at every assessment of every forum or every group focus group session. And as you are, as a reporter, if you need to really hear all of these things in order for it to be a complete report. There's no point in you running off and writing one story, someone else writing off another story. So we take everything, goes into one place, and from that we assess the nature of the recommendations. Some of them, and I don't like to use words like pro or con, but this is what people are saying. This has to happen in its entirety, or nobody's going to be happy. Maybe some people are flexible on this one. And then on this one, it may be a little bit too overreaching to consider that. And what we hope to find is that there's a happy medium in there somewhere, where people who maybe haven't taken into consideration someone else's opinion will see it presented in a different way, in a way that allows them to maybe adjust their position a little bit, for the betterment of all. It's hard to arrive at consensus. I mean, most of our governments get elected at probably less than 40% of the popular vote. It's pretty hard to run a country when 60% of the people don't support you. So, we're not going to, nobody ever gets elected with 100% majority, and nobody ever gets their opinion heard to their best of their ability sometimes. But we believe that through a fair process, and a community, it really is. It's not our recommendations; it's your recommendations. If you're a part of the forum and a part of the focus groups, what you think will be taken into consideration, and we just really present that in front of the council.
Yeah, and you mentioned focus groups. How does the group put those together? Is there demographics and I guess diversity? Obviously, is going to be a big part of it. So, is there a certain demographic that you're looking to target, or is it like a mix of everyone, or?
Yeah, no, but I don't. We don't propose a focus group in that sense of the word. Sure. We propose that if, for example, four or five people want to get together and all talk as one, they create their own group and we meet with them as a group. So right. It could be, there might be a seniors club that wants to talk about this. We're also concerned about hearing youth, and do we do so individually, or we might get, three or four youth who are interested and they're going to say, let's. It might be a project for school. I don't know. And so that's what we're really calling focus groups. So we're not designing something that is trying to recruit people in. It's really falling to those that are concerned and want have something to say and need a proper form, if you will, or a place to say it in a safe way. And we have circle agreements that you can see them posted on the website, the process. to try and be fair and accommodating and respectful, because a lot of times when people are really just on different sides of an issue, you get really strong passion on both sides of the issue, and rather than people talking at the same time, we get to hear everybody, and from that I think we can piece together a narrative that says, here's a few ideas, this is what your people are saying.
I'm currently speaking to Guy Friedman, president of the First People's Working Group, who are consulting on the Prime Minister's path in Baden and its future.
There's been a lot of back and forth on social media in a way that's maybe not as effective in terms of that debate. So is it the First People's Group's goal to sort of, like you were mentioning, present it in more of like a formal way that people will maybe take into other accounts of other people's opinions as well?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how old you are, but I'm 62 years old this summer, and things have changed in the way that we talk to each other when I was a kid growing up and when I was an adult. And what happens with media and with social media, you can say anything you want to anybody you want in almost any way you want. And I didn't grow up that way. I grew up in a really respectful society. We tended to just maybe listen to the radio as old as that sounds, right? Or doing an interview,
right?
Watch TV, and probably read the paper. And by the time you read the paper, a lot of stuff has gone down. But now, people are just going crazy on every element of social media. I don't know how to tweet. I don't use TikTok. I'm like Woody from Toy Story, for goodness sake. And so I come from a place from the indigenous community too, where we have conversation in a really graceful, dignified way, where we're sort of sitting in a circle and you don't get to talk until you're finished talking. Like, we'd like to hear from you. What are your feelings? You know, good, bad, and ugly. And then the next person gets to talk. And then the next person gets to talk. And often, we're in the same room as each other. And most countries, most societies, most things, they don't happen that way anymore. You know, there's young kids getting bullied. There's all kinds of stuff that are, you know, things that we shouldn't be exposed to on social media. And this is a really serious issue. It's not one to take lightly. And so what we try to do is to honor everybody's opinion, and hopefully people come to the table understanding that the respect and the grace and the dignity that they carry as a human can be shown to the people that are on a different side of the issue to you. It's not who yells the loudest, it's not who, you know, bangs the table the hardest. It's about collectively, how can we do the best for our community, and how can we be the best citizens? Ultimately, how can we be the best humans? And we hope that will start to happen as people see different opinions out there, and see that their community is in the spotlight here. And, you know, Wilmot is not unlike any other community across the country, facing challenges on these issues that we're all facing today. It's just a beautiful time for the passion of people to be harnessed in a way that is hopeful, that is positive, and that is inclusive.
Right. And in terms of the actual Prime Minister's path, is the working group looking to find out whether to remove just the Sir John A. Macdonald statue, which is obviously down right now, or is it looking to determine if people want the whole path removed? Is that something you can share with me, or?
Well, it's something that we're going to have to find out. Right. We don't know what the community wants that way. Again, I wish we could come down there in person and do a focus group with the entire, grade 10 class. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
Or with the community, and, you know, and have it at a, you know, we did a beautiful session in Kingston at the Grand Theater with three authors who were writing different positions on the history and legacy of Sir John A. There was 500 people in the place. It was packed to the rafters. And, I don't think people were ready for what happened that night, which was just a really good, honest conversation. Because you could see everybody in the room. You know, you wouldn't And I don't mean to use this in the way that it's going to come out, but you're not going to embarrass yourself when you're, you know, there with a bunch of other people from your community who you have respect for and who you're going to have to be a neighbor with. You know, we're able to do that hiding behind, you know, a laptop or just tripping away some other form. But we're calling on the goodness and the best in everybody across the country, not just in Wilmot, to try and find a way to be respectful of some of the history that we never got told as kids growing up, and we're just learning now. And it's painful for those who may have to let some of that history, go a little. But it's also painful for many Indigenous people whose stories have never been heard.
What's the best way for people's voices to be heard through this process?
Well, I think in the way that they sort of prefer. So we're going to get a good uptake on the Community Voices Forum for people that are savvy enough to go online and go through that process. We also hope to have some sort of a paper questionnaire type survey that we can leave behind at township offices, and people can either print it off, pick it up, print it off, and then maybe deliver it if they want to take time and have a discussion with other people in their households, per se. We've even said that we don't mind people calling us and having one-on-one conversations.
Okay.
Any way that we can get to the community, because it is the community's voices that will be taken into account as this process moves along, and then from that we'll synthesize all those thoughts and feelings, and put them in some sort of a format for consideration by council in terms of either recommendations or suggestions on maybe how to address certain things that maybe require a bit more work.
Right. What do you think is the best way for the township to get the word out about this community engagement? I know that there's some stuff online. Do you think there's other ways that the township can get the word out so people can contribute their thoughts and opinions?
Yeah, well, your story is going to help, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I wish we could find a way to get to younger people, and Cassidy is one of our younger members of the team, and she's trying to look at ways to do that as well, so that we could get a broad spectrum of voices. As you mentioned earlier, I mean, there's a lot of people watching this, and so I don't suspect we'll have any problem coming up with a whole bunch of thoughts on how it proceeds. This is probably a bit more accessible in terms of how we can do it online now compared to the work that we were doing in Kingston, which was in person. And so that in person, sometimes there might have been 20 or 30 people at a session. As I said, somebody just hit whatever you have to hit to make it live, and 17, you know, form recommendations came in, and I'm not checking every hour, but one of the good things about being online is that you're going to get, you probably get a lot more people who are able to participate versus trying to jump in a car going down to the library for 7 p.m. And then us to drive down there and to try and pack the room full of people. So I suspect the intake will be high. I know the interest is high, and I know the people of the township are going to do their best to, I think, come together on this issue, because it is time to come together on this issue.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Guy. Is there anything else you'd like to share, or anything else you think would be interesting to share with us? All curious about how this is going to go.
Just, I think that we should remain hopeful. This is a really good country, and we've had a history that many of us didn't learn in our high school years or earlier learning years, and some people barely learn at university, and that's changing. And when that happens, it will only be, it's going to allow us to build a more inclusive society, and to take a look at the Canada of today compared to the Canada of the 1870s. And many things have changed, and some things haven't. So, you know, the forward-looking, hopeful, positive change experience is what we're looking for all across the country. And Wilmot's going to be a leader in that, I can tell you that.
All right. Thanks for your time then, Guy, and hopefully this all goes smoothly. Have a nice day.
Thank you. You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Today, I spoke to Guy Friedman, president of the First Peoples Working Group on the Prime Minister's Path in Baden and its future.
This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative Grant Program and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Government of Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived versions of this program and other episodes on radiowaterloo.ca/news and other stories commissioned under the Local Journalism Initiative at canada-info.ca. You can follow us on Twitter at Radio Waterloo. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca. Here's CKMS Radio 102.7. This is Naimish Modi. Thank you for listening.